Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In years past, there was pressure. There was expectation. But after a 38-7 throttling of the Minnesota Vikings, it almost felt like a fun ride heading into Minnesota as the Eagles would take on the evil empire. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, memories of 2004. And for the first time, it felt like everyone outside of Boston, at least, was rooting for the Eagles. But on this day, there would be no lopsided score. This was a slugfest, and it came down to who was going to flinch first. The Eagles took their opening possession and ripped right through the Patriots' defense. The Patriots would do the same thing to the Eagles, and this would be a continuing theme throughout the night, settling for field goals until Nick Foles decided he had had enough in the second possession. A 34-yard touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey, who we would learn after this game, had been playing with a torn rotator cuff the entire season. The Patriots would answer back with James White and Gronkowski, a fluke interception as it bounces off Alshon Jeffrey, and just before halftime, it was decision time. 4th and 1, 38 seconds left to go in the half. In what would become one of the most infamous sayings in Philadelphia, Nick Foles ran to the sideline and asked Doug Peterson, "You want Philly Philly?" And Doug Peterson, like he's just simply responding back to a Chinese food order, says, "Yeah, let's do it." Philly Philly, or the Philly special, would be Corey Clement lining up in pistol right behind Nick Foles. Nick Foles would then motion right over top Lane Johnson to form almost a wildcat-looking formation. And it was, for a moment, Corey Clement pitches it to tight end Trey Burton. Is it a reverse? And as the camera and everyone else follows Nick Foles on the field, he's wide open in the end zone. The Philly special, touchdown, Nick Foles. A defining moment not only for the Super Bowl, but for the careers of Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. But the sweat had just begun to start dripping. Patriots open up the second half with a Gronk touchdown as they marched right down the field in 8 plays, 22-19. The Eagles come back with haymakers, 11 plays, 5 minutes off the clock, and probably the best ball that Nick Foles threw the entire day, a 22-yard touchdown pass that would get reviewed and stand thanks to the hands of Corey Clement. As the Eagles would extend their lead, 29-19, the Patriots slug back. 26-yard touchdown to Chris Hogan. The Eagles stall on their next possession. Jake Elliott, 42-yard field goal. 32-26 Eagles. The Patriots come right back in the start of the fourth quarter. 10 plays, 4 minutes and 47 seconds off the clock. Touchdown. Gronkowski, they take the lead. 33-32. Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles will never let up on the gas. 14 plays, 7 minutes. A disastrous 3rd and 1 to Torrey Smith almost ends up in the hands of the Patriots. And according to Doug Peterson's book, it was the wrong play, which sets up a 4th and 1 and puts the Eagles' season practically on the line. A quick out to Zach Ertz, and he leans over, and he gets it. And the drive continues. 6 plays later, from the New England 11, Zach Ertz is alone on Devin McCourty, a play that they have run many times during the season, one-on-one, for a chance to take the lead in the Super Bowl. Ertz takes 2 steps, slants, and walks right into the end zone. Or does he? In another year in the NFL where we're not sure what is and what isn't a catch, the refs review this call for what seems like hours. But it stands. Eagles, 38. New England, 33. 2 minutes and 21 seconds left for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. 5 Super Bowl rings. We've seen this before. He gets things going to Rob Gronkowski for 8 yards. Walking into this game, Brandon Graham had been a humongous part of the Eagles' season as he forced the strip sack in the first week against the Washington Redskins for their first victory of the season. His last strip sack would win the Eagles a Super Bowl. After asking Fletcher Cox for a matchup on the Patriots guard Shaq Mason, he got it. And in the blink of an eye, he stripped Tom Brady. Derek Barnett recovers the fumble. Jake Elliott would extend their lead, and the Patriots would get one more shot at it, but a Hail Mary would fall short. The Eagles have just won their first Super Bowl in franchise history. This is Chapter 5. The Eagles are champions.
The Eagles did it! They did it! They did it! They did it last night, and we're going to celebrate it today. Good morning. Good Monday morning. Great 2018. Great 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. The Eagles are the champions of the NFL. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie here with you today to talk about it, to celebrate it with you, to break down the game, to talk about what it means, to talk about the celebration last night and all that lies ahead as Philadelphia, the sports fandom and all of us, there's an alteration, and it's not small, it's seismic, it's massive. The Eagles have won the championship. No one can ever, ever, ever tell any of us they haven't. They've done it. We'll talk about it today, and we'll certainly come to you on the phones at 888-729-9494. It is so special. It is so special for all of us, and we'll talk about it all day with you. Joe to camera, John Ritchie. Richie Rich, what up, my man?
Little known fact. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best football team in the world.
Yes! It is quite simply, in my opinion, the greatest, most improbable thing we've ever seen in Philadelphia sports. The Eagles winning the Super Bowl. And I don't say improbable from the standpoint of last night, because I believe the Eagles are going to win the game. John believed the Eagles were going to win the game. I'm talking about where they came from. I'm talking about the ashes of Chip Kelly, you know, 24 months ago. And raising this thing up to the point where 24 months later, the Eagles win the Super Bowl. That's an improbable turnaround. And really, even just where they were 6 months ago, when there was an expectation, hey, this is a team, you know, can get to the playoffs. We'll see. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins. But to go the distance, to go 13-3, 3 playoff wins without the star quarterback, 16-3 on the season, and taking down Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on the biggest stage in Super Bowl 52, it's the most improbable and the greatest thing I've ever seen in the history of Philadelphia sports, at least in my lifetime.
So much of what they did was just amazing. And we'll cover it all for you today. We got great guests. In fact, we're going to start the show with one because he, I don't think he slept
no.
a wink. Neither did any of us. But he is out in Minneapolis right now. The president of the Eagles, Don Smolenski. Hi, Don. Congratulations.
Thanks, Angelo. Good morning, man.
Don, what does it feel like? Just describe it for us.
You know, it's so hard to describe, Angelo, because you realize the magnitude of what we accomplished. And you know, this was walking through the night, and I think about our employees, our players, our coaches. You know, we have a woman, Joyce Hyman, who's worked for us for 45 consecutive years, and she's retiring in March, and we just won the Super Bowl. You know, Leo Carlin, who worked for us forever, you know, we won the Super Bowl. For so many fans who have waited for generations, they got to witness it. We did it. And it's overwhelming. It's incredible.
Are you still having to remind yourself every couple of minutes, Don, that you did this?
you know, it hasn't totally sunk in. I don't know if it will until, you know, we're coming down Broad Street. I mean, it's amazing. It was awesome. It's just such a credit to the players. They're just a special group of guys, and they never let anything get in their way. They didn't get down. They just kept going, and it's really a special, special group of guys.
They're Super Bowl champs, Marks and Reese. And Ike's actually out today. He had the sniffles, caught something out there in Minnesota, so he's going to hopefully be back tomorrow. Oh, I'm just kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, he's done it a lot this year, but no more meaningful than right now. Here is one, Ike Reese.
Victory!
And we'll keep on fighting to the end. Ooh. The Philadelphia Eagles. And listen, man, congratulations to the teammate. And there's so many different things to say. There's so many ways to say it. We're probably not even going to get to it all today. But what a game. What a season. All the times we thought the Eagles were going to win Super Bowls with Donovan and your teams back then, you think you know the formula for doing it. Then you bring a coach in here that no one thinks is the coach, or not a lot of people think the coach. People laughed at him. People think he's Andy Reid Jr. and he's a dope or whatever else. And then he's having a great year, and Carson Wentz is the Messiah. He's the MVP. And then he goes down. Just when we thought the season was over, Ike, even though we didn't feel like that. Just when we thought we knows what it takes to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nick Foles outdueled Tom Brady.
Unbelievable.
In Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, just unbelievable. What a game. What a game. Yeah, it's still, it really hasn't registered all the way just yet. It just hasn't. And it's probably going to take until we get through this parade Thursday and...
Thursday, I think it sinks in for everybody.
You know, and then we'll still be on cloud nine for another month or two. So it's surreal. Just a great game. You know, Doug Peterson, you know, I got a chance to see him Saturday night. I mean, not Saturday night, Friday night. And
I did too.
I just wanted, you know, when you got somebody, right, like Doug in the position that he's in, with a chance to win the Super Bowl, you want to just wish him well, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let it go fly, coach. Let it fly. You got nothing to lose. Let it fly. And I don't think in any of our wildest dreams could you imagine a coach coaching with that type of aggressiveness.
Oh,
I mean,
oh my God, Ike.
It was as if he clearly felt he had the Patriots defense, their playbook. I know what you're running. I know what you're doing on defense, and you can't stop us.
Hey, Don, I was talking to Keith Jones, who played 10 years in the NHL, and he said he had never seen a team that so embraced their fans the way this one did.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a little bit about where that came from, because we saw it again after the game last night. Jeffrey took several minutes to do a testimony of the fans. Just tell me, where did that come from?
You know, I just think, one, I think they're just a good group of guys. I think, two, like, you know, really, especially, we've just really spent a lot of time with them. And, you know, I remember I shared a moment with Derek Barnett because, you know, we remember the draft started in Philly. Dude, we started the season with the draft in Philly, and we ended it. We're going to end it with a Super Bowl parade. I mean, how incredible is that? And I remember having a moment with Derek Barnett, and I just said, you know, I said to him, I said, look, this it's really easy in this town. I said, if you just show the fans, if you just work hard, you play hard, and you show the fans that you care about the game as much as they do, I said, the fans will just open up their arms and embrace you, and they'll love you forever. And I think the whole team, you know, from Brent Celek to Zach Ertz, I mean, Chris Maragos, they get it. Jordan Hicks, Carson, they're just an amazing group of guys, and they get it, and they fed off the fans, and the fans fed off of them and became this just mutual relationship that just built and built and built and built. And, dude, the fans in the stadium last night, they were awesome. It was great. It was so cool.
It was. Once again, somebody said you had 14 home fields this year out of the 18 or so. I mean, and I'm thinking, it had to cost you $3,000 or $4,000 to just get in the building, right, Don? And yet, listen to that crowd. A lot of people get in there. Wow.
There's a video that, because Brian, Brian was Westbrook came on, and with the Fly Eagles Fly chant, and one of our PR guys, Zach Groen, captured it on this video and had sent to him, and it sounded like the whole stadium was singing Fly Eagles Fly, and you're standing here at the Super Bowl, and you're listening to that. You know, you just can't, you can't really absorb it. You just can't, it's just incredible. I mean, we just changed the lives of 5 million fans in Philadelphia. I mean, it's unbelievable.
What an awesome way to do it, too.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we won the world championship because we were bolder than any team I've ever seen going up against the New England Patriots. And Doug said something after the game. He said, you know, asked about those, the calls, you know, I mean, like borderline, just ridiculous, confident calls. He said, you know, something along the lines of, if you don't take chances, you're taking away your chance to win against a team that's that good. I loved the way he commanded that game. And you want to talk about time management?
Yeah.
Time management that was our biggest. I mean, that was our Achilles heel with Andy. And now we've got a guy who's, man, he is just so good.
Yeah, he is.
So good in every way. And I did not expect to see the game that was not the there was so much yardage going on on that field.
It's unbelievable.
It wasn't the most yardage in a postseason game. It wasn't the most yardage in a Super Bowl. It was the most yardage ever in an NFL game.
Incredible.
I like offense. I mean, what an awesome, what an experience.
Well, it was.
And enjoy.
And it got really scary there in the third and in the fourth. I mean, third, the Patriots are nipping on the Eagles' heels. In fourth quarter, they take the lead, and the Eagles' defense couldn't stop them. Couldn't stop them. And the Patriots were barely stopping the Eagles. But the Eagles in the second half could simply not stop them.
That's why he kept going for it. That's why he was as aggressive as he was. He had a masterful game plan ready to go. And I'll tell you this, you know, coaches come into games with a certain plan on how they want to attack the opponent. But you often see where coaches get in the game, and when you're in that moment, they don't necessarily stick to that plan for whatever reason. They don't stick to that plan all the time.
When the moment gets big.
Yeah. And, you know, the 2 weeks of preparing for this New England team, you know, Doug, Frank Wright, John DeFilippo, they seem to have the answer for everything the Patriots were trying to do on defense. And my man, Nick Foles, holy cow. Nicky Six was out there flinging the ball around last night. I mean, he must have made five or six, maybe even more, throws where I'm just saying, dude, that's Tom Brady. That's Aaron Rodgers' throw, where he's dropping the ball in the bucket.
He threw a couple sidearm.
Oh, man, the touch he had
on the run.
The touchdown that Alshon caught, I mean, the sideline pass where Alshon was going down, the one knee was falling, and it just dropped right over his shoulder into his arms. You know, Nelson Aguilar catches over the middle. Zach Ertz, you know, the touchdown to Corey Clement. Come on, man. He dropped that in over double coverage. Yep. Safety and a linebacker on the running back. He dropped
to
that
a running back.
Man.
How about Corey Clement stepping up?
Don, that is such a perfect comment, because in the hours since you guys won, on WIP radio, we have heard consistently people calling up and breaking down emotionally, remembering parents and grandparents that were not here and wanted this so badly. This is cross-generational. This is even people that aren't here anymore. The bond is so great, and people are remembering all that at this moment, which I thought just made it even more special. Was it as emotional for you guys?
It was, you know, just, you know, sitting in the box with Jeffrey, you know, his mom's in there with him. And, you know, she's, I think, in her early 90s. You know, I know Jeffrey had, I think, the watch of his father in his pocket, you know, so it was close to him. Like, that's when you, you sort of see how special it was. And, you know, we just had a few moments to ourselves to just sort of, you know, try to grasp that, you know, we're world champions. Philadelphia Eagles are the world champions, and it's amazing. And, you know, just the whole week leading up, right? Yesterday, I think February 4th is Jerome Brown's birthday. He would have turned 53. He was 52, would have been 52, turned to 53 yesterday. You know, Brian Dawkins getting into the Hall of Fame. It's the year of the dog and the Chinese New Year. I mean, there's just so much good karma around. It was meant to be, and it happened.
Hey, Don, I just got to ask you, because I'm kind of a fair weather guy when it comes to stuff like this. When you're down 33, 32, I got some dark thoughts going about how a devastating loss.
Man,
did you lose faith? At any point, did you go, oh, no, that's Brady, we're in trouble? Why not?
No, just because that's the way Doug talked to the team and preached to the team. It's the way the team has acted. And, you know, it's everything, even from when, you know, I remember when Malcolm broke down the team after we lost Carson, after the Rams game. You know, it was just that mindset that there was nothing going to stop these guys. And when that happened, I turned to Howie, and we just looked at each other and said, we're going to be all right, bro. And we came down, and, you know, you just had to believe, and we believed, and they believed, and they believed in each other, and the fans and the city believed. They believed. You felt it through the postseason. They believed. You know, I think they were a little, the fans were a little apprehensive, a little nervous for that first game against Atlanta. But after we beat Atlanta, they were jacked for like the Minnesota. They believed we were going to win. And I think they believed it was going to happen today. They kept telling me it was going to happen. And I, you know, you always got to be cautious. You appreciate the kind words, but until it happens, and it's just awesome. It's just incredible.
Trey Burton and Nick Foles for the touchdown. Come on, man.
No, after Tom Brady drops
right,
it, right?
Right.
After, but you know what they did? Like, they executed. The offensive the execution with this team, and who's that a credit to? Doug, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, and the players. They executed. They executed. Minnesota, they made play after play after play. This game, all right, the defense struggled because, hey, listen, Tom Brady's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham made a play, and I felt good on that drive.
BG.
FYI.
I didn't. I'm glad you did.
Listen,
I'm looking at that clock the whole time like, oh, Lord.
Nelson Aguilar
Lord.
Going out of bounds.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It changed, and I thought that was going to come back and bite him in the ass.
Yeah, little things like that, man. That sack and that fumble was so huge.
And it still wasn't over.
Yeah, when the Patriots went up 33-32, I'm like, oh, Lord, they done took the lead.
And it was like back and forth and back and forth, and I was thinking about what we were talking about last week regarding, well, would you rather have the lead late and the defense on the field or the offense on the field and trailing?
Oh, my view changed. I said last week, you know, I'd rather have our defense out there. I believe in them. By the end of that game, I just wanted Nick to throw it. You know,
let's make some noise. Come on.
Thank you, Nick.
It felt like they
had really ratcheted down and they were stopping the run.
The Patriots were,
which I found so unlikely, but they were. And by the end of the game, I was just praying that we were going to put the ball in Nick's hands. He was everything.
Yeah, he was.
He played the greatest game. I mean, I thought the Vikings game was phenomenal. It was. I mean, it was the greatest game I've ever seen him play. He won up that.
It's incredible.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, he was so razor sharp. His decision making, his pocket presence.
Yeah.
You know, for a guy that doesn't have great wheels, he has really developed quickly a pocket feel to just move around a little bit, move around enough. If you look at the critical fourth and one to Zach Ertz for the first down in the fourth quarter with 5-6 minutes to go, he was under some pressure from two different guys, and he moved to his left to make that completion. I mean, that was a huge play by him.
Subtle moves in the pocket, not sacked the whole day. Nick Foles outplayed Tom Brady.
Hey, Don, I got to ask you about two people that really stood out in the performance yesterday. I'll start with your head coach. Don, that fourth and one play at the goal, that gadget play, and Foles caught the touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Were you aware that was in the playbook? And what was your reaction as it unfolded in front of you?
I watched it unfold, and I was like, oh, my God. I did not know that was in the playbook. And I'm thinking, holy crap, the Patriots just ran that in us, and we're throwing it right back at them. I was like, wow. But Doug has said that. Doug said when he talked to the team, he told them he was going to coach aggressive, and he wasn't going to pull back, and he didn't. And, you know, he deserves obviously all the credit. He led that group of men, and all the coaches, just everybody together. It was just a united effort between the team, the city, the fans, the organization. It's all of us. It's all just one big celebration.
And finally, Don, the other guy that this is what makes this story so absolutely improbable. You did this with a backup quarterback, and you won the game on offense with 41 points with Nick Foles. Obviously, the guys running the team had more faith in Foles than the fans did. Did he surprise you at all that he stepped up the way he did in these last two games to win his team a Super Bowl?
When Nick was here with us before and he was our starter, you know, he threw 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in 2013. You know, Nick is just a really good guy. And, we all believed in him and we cared for him. And because of that, he was a good guy. And, you know, it was hard when he left us. But when he came back, it was great to have him back in the fold. There was just... You know, he just part of the family and his family. And, when he came in and took over for Carson, I think they him and Carson and Nate, they all have a close relationship. And, you know, you saw that. And, you know, just had some really special moments with him. And it's cool. And it's just, it's overwhelming, Angelo. It is. It's really overwhelming.
Tom Brady missed on multiple throws.
Absolutely. Now, he otherwise played an incredible game, but he did miss some throws. I mean,
he threw
did
for 500 yards. So, you know, you can't poo-poo that too much.
Let me say this, and again, 888-729-9494. On just, first off, it's such a proud moment for me to be here, to be with all of you, to be with everybody, to be with you. For John and I to be hosts on WIP at 10 a.m., currently 10:13, the day after the Eagles win the Super Bowl, is remarkably special for us. We're here. We're going to be with you all day, obviously. Well, you know, the whole station all day. 888-729-9494. There's so much to say. Let me just keep it more on the game for a moment, then we'll expand out. I thought Peterson flat out out-coached Belichick. Not a shred of doubt in my mind. The only decision by Peterson I didn't like was chasing the points, the two-point conversion in the second quarter.
Yeah, I agree.
But otherwise, I thought his fourth downs and all, I thought Belichick made some big mistakes. We'll detail that as we move through the game. And I thought, John, that, and listen, I wasn't alive in 48, 49, and 60, so it's hard for me to fully say. But I thought Brandon Graham's strip sack of Tom Brady probably is the most important Eagles defensive play in the history of the franchise.
I felt momentum, at least in the stadium and with me. It was like, oh, here we go.
Yes!
And they went on the drive where, hey, first off, forget about scoring. They took the defense off the field. If they would have three and outed and got it back to them, game over.
I agree. That's
game
why that drive
over.
That drive was huge.
Yep.
They needed to at least give their defense some rest. But more importantly, they needed to find a way to get at least 3 points back. Man.
Fourth and one, own 45, 5:39 to go, and there wasn't a doubt in my mind. You give the ball, you punt, because you have time and you have timeouts. You punt there. There was no way Doug was going to do that, because if you give the ball back, you're going down and scoring.
No.
And everybody watching that game knew it.
Yeah.
You went for it. Nick, with a nice move to kind of get outside the pocket, throws the Ertz first down.
Yeah.
And Nick made plays all night, man.
Listen, when they got to that play on fourth and one, where they went for it, I tweeted out, Doug, you might as well go for it. You've been going for it all day.
Go for it all year.
Yeah, because I didn't agree with the fourth and two or fourth and goal right before the half. I'm sitting there saying, take the three. That's me.
As I think a lot of people.
Oh, that's the coaching manual.
You're right.
That's the coaching manual. Coaching 101.
Against the Patriots,
yeah.
You take the points. They have the ball to start the second half, too. You want to
get
the points.
Here. You got
to
get some points.
He
here.
Takes the timeout, and I'm thinking, well, he thought better of it.
Right.
I'm at my in-laws watching. Everybody's saying, what is he doing? And I'm like, it's a bad call if it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah.
And what does he call, Ike?
Man, what was that? I don't even know. That was a reverse tight end pass. Man, that was.
So Clemson did it in 2013. The Bears did the same thing in 2016.
Well, wasn't that? Was it the Baker Mayfield play?
Is that Baker Mayfield did the same thing?
Yeah, I think against Georgia.
It was
in the playoff game this year. Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Why am I blanking?
I think he did.
The great part about it is it looked like he was going down to change the play to tell his offensive lineman.
Right.
And then before you know it, Corey Clement has the ball, and then Trey has the ball.
I'm saying to myself, we're running a damn wildcat. What are we doing? And then I see the reverse of the tight end. Why are we going backwards? This is me yelling through the entire play.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're throwing it to Nick Foles. Oh, oh.
Ike, in all my years.
I was mad.
All my years as an Eagle fan, and I'm not that old, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen Doug. Everything that Doug did last night, for the most part, worked. For the most part. The second down before the 2 minute warning, I thought was the time to pass it and put the game on ice. And he ran the ball. But that's the one thing I noticed. That everything else, and Nick Foles.
Man.
I mean, are you kidding me? What did we say? He'll never match what he did against the Vikings. But just don't hurt the team.
Can't win a shootout. Can't win a shootout. There's no way we can beat Tom Brady in a freaking shootout.
What every fan wants to know now is one last thing, and that is. Any idea when the parade will be?
Yeah, I do. I do know.
Oh, could you tell us?
We'll have a little announcement, I think, later this morning.
Okay.
We've been touching the mayor's office, but it'll be, it'll be awesome. So stay tuned. Details coming soon. But I don't know that I can spill the beans. I don't know if I want to get in trouble with my PR people.
No, that's fine, Don. I'm glad you guys decided. It's going to be the all-time parade. You know that.
It will be. I know it will be. Yeah, they said he's going to have to shut down.
Well, Don, I got to tell you, thank you. Thank the Eagles organization, Jeffrey and Howie and Doug and everybody associated with it. You gave this city a gift that is invaluable. We could never place a value on what you guys did yesterday.
Yeah. Thank you. It's for all of us. It's for everybody, and it's really, really cool. And I think about it. Look, Angela, when we were at the Goldbergs back in December, we didn't think we'd be having this conversation today. When I called Rhea an hour ago, she told me. I said I knew you'd be. You were the only one I could call because I was still up. So it's cool. We can't wait to get home. We'll be on a plane later, and.
Can you tell us when you're arriving? Because I'm assuming a lot of people. Yeah,
when are the Eagles coming in? Great question.
I think we get in sometime around 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. And Don, now that you've got a Super Bowl, you can dedicate more time to your acting career. No,
but right now I got to run because my family's getting ready to catch the first starter out. So I'm going to go say goodbye to them.
Don,
thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys.
Don, thank you so much, and thanks to the Eagles.
It was like, someone, please make a play. Someone, please make a play.
It felt like the only play our defense made.
And Brandon Graham made it.
To that point.
Brandon Graham made that play. And by the way, the Alshon Jeffrey catch earlier in the first half in the end zone, he made a lot of great catches. But his catch, that was Lynn Swann. That was one of the great throws and great catches you'll ever see in Super Bowl history. I mean, that was Lynn Swann. And
he
I
made
don't think,
a couple of them.
Oh! So listen. We'll talk about the game, 888-729-9494. And even more so, we'll talk about the emotion within us, which is just spilling out. It spilled out last night after the game. There were a lot of tears, a lot of joy.
You were crying?
I cried a lot. I cried. I cried very hard. I've cried 4 times already. I cried twice last night. I've cried twice already today. Don't be surprised in the next couple hours if it doesn't happen.
I went to tears last night.
I can tell. I can tell you're emotional now.
I went to tears last night. I made sure I took me a moment, got away, and I just sat there, and I'm like, dude, we just won the Super Bowl. And I couldn't believe it. But, people were asking, why didn't we, we were out there in Minneapolis.
Right.
Had a great time all week with Radio Row. But we decided to come back, watch the game with our loved ones, the wives and our kids. And so, as great as it would have been to be at the game last night in Minneapolis, it wouldn't have been as great if they weren't with me. So if they can't go, if I can't get them out there and get tickets for them, then I got to come back. And me and my wife came back because, quite frankly, I knew they were going to win. We've been saying this for 2 weeks. I wanted to be home with my son and my daughter who love the Eagles and my neighbors and make sure that I'm hugging and kissing people that have are friends of mine, loved ones of mine, and we live through this team together, season after season, week after week, in season, tough losses, everything. I had to be there with them last night when the confetti was coming down.
You've been invested 20 years in this city.
Yeah.
20 years, and now your family. From Philadelphia. I mean, they won't know anything else other than this city and this area.
Yep.
To where you always say, like, well, I've been here since. No, you're a Philadelphia night.
No, no doubt. No doubt. And the great thing is talking to my former teammates through last night and today. And even last week when we were out there and we ran into a bunch of them. It's funny how all of us felt the same. I was talking to Trot earlier today and. First thing I said to him was, man, can you believe they won the Super Bowl? He said, hold up, Ike. We won the Super Bowl. That's partly mine, too.
It really
is. And I agree with him. Didn't play one snap. Didn't lift one weight. Haven't lifted a weight in years. Didn't do 1 ounce of training. No blood, sweat, and tears this year for this team. But, as this team goes, my emotions go.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Super Bowl champion Eagles!
The Eagles are champions of 2017. Maybe we can do this again in 2018. No matter what, we'll be here. telling your stories and our stories together. This has been The Underdogs, the 2017 playoff run. Make sure to rate, subscribe, and review to all of our WIP originals right here on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.